Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program for Wednesday, October the 22nd, 2025. We thank you for listening to AFR, and by we, I mean, this panel I got here assembled, which I'm looking around this room, and I'm a little underwhelmed, I got to tell you guys.
So this is not like Avengers Assemble?
But the assemble part was very official.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, you're just
like
wondering what I was
going to say. You went down the hall and was like, not you. Yep.
Avengers Assemble.
That is the call for the Avengers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right. So I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
And you're my brother, even though you're my son. Figure that one out.
Yes.
And Fred Jackson, you're my brother. How you doing, brother?
That's
Fred?
That's right. That is Captain Fred. Captain Canada.
Oh, Captain.
I am.
I see what you did there.
I am my own grandpa.
Yeah.
Remember there was a song?
Grandpa the Avenger?
No, there was a. It was some song.
Geriatric version.
I'm my own grandpa, and it's something. It's a long, involved thing.
But you're so old, you forgot the song.
I'm going to look it up. But you were saying that Wesley can be your brother as well as your son.
Right.
And that's kind of what this song was kind of. I'm going to look that up.
You look that up.
It's hilarious.
You're not imagining anything, Gary.
No.
I'd like to make an announcement. I'd like to get us back on track here.
If you have an announcement, Wesley, go ahead right now.
Read from the bulletin.
Yeah.
No, it's not a bulletin, but it was obvious this morning, and so I need to go in and be transparent with our listening audience. It was obvious this morning that I have I'm out of the loop a little bit. So
right.
I will be today. I will I'll be pretending as if I'm a listener.
Okay.
So I'm going to be responding accordingly.
Hey, listen. It's okay to admit your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Wesley's weakness is that he doesn't give a rip about foreign affairs.
That's
okay.
I would say not all the way, not a rip, just a half a rip.
Right. He gives half a rip about what's going on in other countries. So his eyes start to glaze over when we talk about this and that going on around the world.
Yes.
Right?
Well, not yet.
You're just learning and growing.
That's true. But let's back up further. Let's bore our audience where I've been the last couple
of
days.
By the way, just FYI, we have a show prep meeting, if you can believe that, people.
If you can believe.
Yeah, we have a show prep meeting at right after devotion every morning. So 2 hours in advance of this show, we are getting prepared for what we're going to talk about. So that's what we're – so when this
and there
morning,
it is. We're here.
When we got to talking about Ukraine and Israel and – Columbia and everything this morning, Wesley was he was disengaged. He was looking at his phone, and that's okay though. Go ahead. What were you
also
gonna say?
A little bit though. Every now and then you get real busy. So I had the opportunity to travel with a baseball team all weekend. We did baseball Monday. I took off and did some food plots and planting. So I'm just now getting back into the.
You just conflated baseball with deer hunting.
What I meant was I checked out for
you
about
checked
5
out.
Days.
Yeah, you had your baseball tournament and your baseball team. That's your whirl.
Yeah, there you go.
For Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday you had
hunting stuff.
Getting ready for deer hunting season.
Yeah. So right. I'm back in. So today I'm playing.
You're
the
back
listener.
In the game, but you're just not up to date. Is what you're
right,
saying.
So. Yep.
So let me update everybody
Please
on this
do.
1947 song by Guy Lombardo.
No, I remember Guy
Lombardo. I'm just going to go the first part of the lyrics.
Right.
It's a whole long song, but it says, "Now many, many years ago, when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter, had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon the two were wed. Mm. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. My daughter was my mother because she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became the brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, that also made him the brother of the widow's grown-up daughter, who, of course, was my stepmother." Mm.
You know, I'm getting tired about these jokes about the South.
It happened right down the road, didn't it, Tim?
Yeah. About these lyrics, your family runs in a straight, your family tree runs straight, and all that has no branches, and all those jokes, you know. Huh?
You'd never heard this song?
No, I hadn't. Now, Fred used to spin records back in the day. Fred, you ever heard this song?
Oh, yeah.
Have?
I'm my own grandpa.
I'm my own grandpa.
So that it is a twist on.
And Willie Nelson, I think, made it kind of more famous here in. In our lifetime.
Was that before marijuana or after?
Exactly. I don't know, before his tax problems. Anyway, it's a pretty clever song. It's clever.
Yeah.
But it'll make your brain hurt.
We're going to put that up on our Facebook page.
No, let's not. Yeah, we probably shouldn't.
So Wesley's my oldest son, but he's also my brother in Christ. People don't know what we're talking about, that's what we're talking about. And we do know what we're talking about, if you're wondering.
Right.
Okay, so are we ready to move on?
I'm ready.
Yes. For the share list.
Our listeners are desperate for us to move on.
Yeah. Fred, what's your first story?
All right. First from the Insanity File. Now, you mentioned we have a story meeting in the morning. This is kind of news that has come up in the last 30 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Big ruling expected out of the Minnesota Supreme Court today. And I guess the insanity is that we're even having court cases dealing with this today. They are about to rule on whether a male has a right to compete in women's powerlifting. All right? So this is just the latest case on this front.
You have to have a Supreme Court?
Yes.
In Minnesota to decide whether that's right or not?
Yes, because a trial judge said, yes, and we're talking about those who claim to be transgender.
Yeah,
all right.
They're dudes, but they raise their hand and say, "I feel like a woman."
Yes,
with dresses.
To borrow from Shania Twain, who said, "I feel like a man." Right.
Yep.
So they feel like they're a woman. So therefore, because their feelings determine their reality, they should be able to compete in sports against girls.
Yes,
that's what they say. Okay.
And the USA Powerlifting Group says, "No, we can't have this." for obvious reasons to normal people.
It's unfair. Yeah.
So this is the latest one. This case, of course, it just would have an impact in Minnesota, but a lot of states who are fighting these cases, there are groups fighting these cases to protect women's sports, are certainly looking at this.
And this is not the U.S. Supreme Court. This is the Minnesota Supreme
Court. Okay. Supreme Court. Of course, the Minnesota Human Rights Act, like in many other liberal states, supports the idea of a guy who says, "I feel like a girl, therefore I have a right to compete in these sports." Kind of an this is in our story on AFN.net. In an indication of the intense interest in the Minnesota case, numerous athletes and organizations on both sides filed friend of the court briefs, including former tennis champion Martina Navratilova, who is part of a group of 83 female athletes backing USA Powerlifting's position on this.
And Navratilova is a well-known lesbian.
Yes.
Who does not think that men should be allowed, no matter what they claim, should be allowed in women's sports. She was a famous and very successful tennis star.
Yes.
Martina Navratilova. She understands as well as anybody, you cannot allow men to take women's spots and win women's awards or, you know, the prizes that come with professional sports. And so, what's her name? J.K. Rowling. Now, she's straight, as far as I know, but she's a feminist.
Yes.
She's also against allowing men in. And both of them have taken a lot of flack.
Yes.
For their.
So is this ruling going to come down today? Is that what we're talking about?
To come down today. The arguments were made in December, so they're expected to come down today. So we'll be watching.
Wesley, you have any comment on this? This doesn't involve foreign affairs.
Well, I've always said that when this transgender sports came along, if a trans, now again, I don't believe in transgender. Let me back up. If it's for 18 and older, so you got like Olympic sports,
college
sports, those, if they want to create, they meaning the transgender community wanted to compete against themselves or transgender community, LGBTQ community, whatever, and they wanted to create a third category that they believe that somebody would, you know, they can get enough
have their
support,
own league.
Their own league, yeah. Whatever, knock yourself out. Like, I think go for that. But you're stating the obvious when you say this is a transgender woman. Well, why do you have to say it's either a woman or it's not?
Right.
So that in and of itself, now I don't believe if 18 and under for anything, high school, middle school, youth sports of any kind, I don't even think there should be a third option or alternative at all.
No park and rec. I don't think they're not going to have. We're going to have 10 transgendered 8-year-olds show up for soccer practice?
Sure, exactly.
No, that ain't going to happen.
No, it's not.
Excuse me, ain't. All right, let me ask you on a serious note here. I'm going to ask Ed, I want to ask you this question, and then we can move on. Because I think, why do the people on the left, and not all of them, you find some that are sane on this issue,
Bill Maher
of Fetterman, John Fetterman, the senator. There are some other noted ones. Even Gavin Newsom has criticized it, even though he allows it to happen in the state of California. But I want to ask you something. It's a serious question. Why do these people who promote who defend this, why do they insist that biological males, and I know there's no other kind, but just for the sake of our discussion here, why do they insist that they be allowed to play against females when it's blatantly and obviously unfair?
Well,
what would they say?
They would say, and here's the problem with the left as it has continued to move in its direction of rejecting God. Okay, they would say the individual determines their own reality. They have the right to decide what they want to be, who they want to be, the quote unquote, who they want to love, because love is love. And if they believe in their hearts and in their minds that they are in the wrong body and want to be trans, nobody has the right to tell them no. That's why they will say patently absurd things like trans women can have babies. And you say, well, but they're men. No, they're not. If they say they're women, because their worldview is the individual is sovereign. No one can tell them what to do. Obviously not God. They left that a long time ago. But society can't either.
Okay, a couple things here. First of all, you said they reject God. That's the first thing you said.
Yes.
So they reject God. These people reject nature.
Exactly.
Which is created by God, right?
Right.
The Bible says that he created them male and female.
Mm-hmm.
There's no trans.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Male and female. So they're rejecting, Wesley, these lefties, these secular lefties, they're rejecting God's nature.
That's right. Yeah. And another way, of, in addition to what Ed's saying here too, is that if you're following what Ed was saying, you go, okay, let a person think that's what they're, okay,
right.
Following.
What do I care whether somebody thinks they're an opposite sex?
The problem is when you apply their same standard the other way. For example, if we were to be opposed to that and say, how come I can't also identify? I know we've all used these examples before, but if you just isolate there, what you're saying is that a person can identify. with whatever you want.
Right.
Well, then how come I can't identify as a millionaire, or I can't identify as a pilot? Why do I have to go
to
school?
You know what you do if you do that enough? They put you in a home.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Huh? Why do I have to go to school to become a pilot? A pilot.
When you're identified as a pilot already.
I did YouTube videos. You know, I'm ready.
Right. You're transitioning to be a pilot.
That's an extreme. I'm jumping all over the end.
But the logic. Align with that, and then we'll move on to the next topic here. Because we're trying to get one of the reasons we do a show like this and we discuss a topic like this. We want to give people ammunition when they when they discuss this with people maybe that would defend transgendered and saying, hey, if they feel like there's something. Okay, so if you believe that a person can be something that they're biologically not just because they say they are or their feelings indicate, so you would say, well, he's born a male, but he feels like he's trapped in the wrong body, so he is you should call him a she because she is really a woman trapped in a male's body. Okay, and you would say that with a straight face, and they really believe that. And, you know, all right, then do you also agree then that Tim, a white male, 62, can identify as a 31-year-old Chinese woman.
Right.
Would you say, and I said, I'm a white male American trapped in a Chinese woman's body.
Yep.
No, I'm a Chinese woman trapped in a white male's body. Right. You follow me here? Yeah. I know I'm sounding a little silly here, but really, you would have to, if for a person who says you are what you identify as, you would have to acknowledge.
They do say that.
It's okay that I identify.
Yeah, I've watched man on the street kind of interviews on college campuses.
Yeah,
where this very thing goes on. The interviewer asks, "Can a man claim he's a woman?" Oh yeah, absolutely. I believe in that. I'm a supporter of trans individuals, and then they do what you just said.
Well,
can I identify as a 6'5" Chinese woman who's 31? Can I identify as a 16-year-old boy and go back to high school and date high school girls? And then they go, well, if that's the way you identify, I guess you would. You can see in their minds they're going.
They're fighting it.
They're fighting it. They're going,
they know it's
wrong.
Illogical.
Yeah.
I know.
But they can't tell you why they think it's illogical.
Red wants to rejoin the show at some point. But no, that's okay. I did ask you the question. One last comment, Wesley.
Last comment for me. So you got Tim Walz as the governor of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And if you've, politically speaking, a lot of the times he and others in his camp will use the words, the rights. They have rights. What about their rights? Their rights. Well, the problem with using that language is you're violating the rights of others to get rights.
Gotcha. And like young ladies.
Like
when you support a 16-year-old boy being able to dunk on a girl,
you're violating
in basketball or spike the ball in basketball. You're actually violating the civil rights of the young ladies.
Very literally.
Because you're forcing them into a dangerous and an unfair competitive situation. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows. You know, just we'll move on here. But I was I was watching my Wesley's daughter, seven-year-old, play soccer last night. By the way, she scored 5 goals.
Mm.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, she did. I said, that's my granddaughter right there.
5 goals?
I said it loud so everybody could hear it. I mean, I was like bragging openly. You know, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I felt like maybe.
Granddaughter Landry, come on over here.
Yeah, but I had already done it. But anyway, she scored 5 goals, and I asked her real loudly, hey, did you just score your 5th goal? Hey, here, you seem to me to be better than all the other girls out here. But don't brag on yourself because I was saying it like
that. Listen, that's just the right of a grandparent.
Okay. So, but that's not my point. Yeah. I was leaving her game. And I was watching the 7-year-old boys.
Oh, yeah.
So the 7-year-old girls are soccer,
yeah,
playing on one field with my granddaughter. And as I'm leaving the field, I'm watching the end of a 7-year-old boys game.
Yeah.
Okay? The speed was double. Yeah. And I'm talking 7-year-olds. Maybe not double. That's
visually.
Visually, you could tell, hey, these little boys are moving faster.
Yeah.
As a whole. Now, you're going to find a little girl who can run with the boys
right.
for a while. But I'm just saying, you could obviously tell the athleticism, the genetic makeup of the males were different than the girl.
Even at 7 years old.
Even at 7 years old.
Yep.
That's Romans 1. It's visual. Right. You can see it.
Yep. Yep. Next story, Fred.
All right. Well, let's go to the Middle East.
Wesley's where you come in.
Yeah, right here. Gotcha.
Vice President J.D. Vance is there. Probably has already met today with Prime Minister Netanyahu. Yesterday, President Trump back at home in Washington, certainly talking about what's going on in that supposed Gaza peace plan. We are stuck apparently on number one of 20 parts of that peace plan. Number two, now J.D. Vance says number two, which involves disarming Hamas, he says things are going pretty well. But President Trump yesterday talking about Hamas, saying if they don't do what they say they committed themselves to, disarm and give up the leadership of Gaza, then we will do something about it. So here's a little bit of J.D. Vance and President Trump talking about Hamas. Cut number one.
The terms of the 20-point plan that the president put out there is very clear. It's supported not just by Israel, but by all of our Gulf Arab friends. It's that Hamas has to disarm. It's that Hamas has to actually behave itself. And that Hamas, while all the fighters can be given some sort of clemency, they're not going to be able to kill each other, and they're not going to be able to kill their fellow Palestinians.
We're giving them a chance. You know, they agreed that they'd be very good, very straight. They wouldn't be killing people, and they have killed people. That wasn't the deal we made, but if they don't honor the deal, they'll be taken care of very quickly, but I'd rather not have to do that.
What does that mean?
I'd rather not have to do that. It make it sound like President Trump is in charge of all of this. Now, I say that because there was a statement issued from Prime Minister Netanyahu's office this morning in advance of his meeting with Vice President J.D. Vance. This is Prime Minister Netanyahu. Quote, "We are not a protectorate of the United States. Israel is the one that will decide on its security," end quote.
Who is that again?
Prime Minister Netanyahu. Now, what is he saying when he says we are not a protectorate of the United States? Well, he's saying the United States doesn't control us, nor do we put the responsibility of protecting us in the hands of the United States. I read into that he's a little disturbed by the comments coming particularly from President Trump, that President Trump is in charge of what will happen in Gaza, security-wise. And so putting that statement out in advance of his meeting with Vice President Vance, he was almost signaling, don't tell us what we will do. Don't give us the timetable on what we will do to make sure that we are secure from these Hamas terrorists.
Yes, and also, Israel is a sovereign country.
Yes.
Gaza is land owned by Israel that the Arab Palestinians are living in, allowed by Israel.
Yes.
Okay, you remember when Israel removed all the Jews from Gaza? This is 15 years ago or so.
2007, I think.
Yeah, they removed all the Jews. Remember, some of the Jews who had land there were upset. Remember, they had to physically pull them out. And then they said, here, Palestinians, you have this Gaza Strip. You run your own affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what happened. So I'm saying this to say, when President Trump says, by the way, he's getting very elementary in his words. I don't good, bad, take. I mean, I'm not criticizing that altogether, but I hope nothing's going on there. Maybe he's getting tired. Anyway, he shouldn't be saying, President Trump should not be saying, or we'll take care of him.
Mm.
Because what I think Benjamin Netanyahu is reacting to is, no, President Trump, as good as our friendship is, you don't have the right to say you'll send in the Marines on our sovereign country to bite because you want to get rid of Hamas. And secondly, we finish this when we get back. What are we going to do? Hunt down Hamas? You can't hunt down Hamas unless you go door to door and there's no doors left.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of a, I don't know. We can talk about it more when we get back.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to the program. Today's issues here on AFR. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. By the way, in just a few days, we'll be going on the air with our brand new purchase radio station. We bought it. It's not a new station, but it's in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah. Mm.
And so we'll let folks know, but that's coming up, so they can let their friends and family know, maybe who live in the greater Des Moines area. We have a lot of radio stations already in Iowa,
yeah,
but we haven't had one in Des Moines, so we'll be covering the state capital of Iowa very soon in the next few days. You're listening to today's issues, Tim, Ed, Fred, and Wesley. We were talking about Israel, and we're going to continue this conversation. J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States, is in Israel, and he's trying to foster point two. Is that what we're on?
Yeah.
Of the 20 point, whoever gave it 20 points should be fired, by the way. Absolutely fired today and say,
they should know their trends. It's
yes.
Trending that we go five everything. It used to be three, but now it's five everything.
You're so never going to get points. We're going to be here 7 years from now going, we're on point seven. I mean, it's just 20 points is too many. But anyway, we want to continue talking about this issue. And joining us is Jenna Ellis. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Heard on AFR from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning here on American Family Radio. And Jenna, good morning to you.
Good morning. And 20 points does seem like a lot, just like a Baptist sermon. You can only get like two or three out.
That's why I liked the late Adrian Rogers sermons. He just had
3 points.
3 points.
And they all the first same letter.
Yeah, and you knew what you were getting.
He was a prince of preachers.
Oh, man. And that baritone voice.
Yeah.
That's why we still air his Bible teaching show, Love Worth Finding, each evening here on AFR.
Hey, if it was good 10 years ago, it's good now.
They're timeless messages that Dr. Adrian Rogers gave. I want to ask Fred this question, then Jenna, I want to ask you. I don't want to necessarily talk about the politics of Israel right now, though we can get back to that. And it's intertwined with my question. But, Fred, what is the we were talking off the air here. You said the United States, President Trump, there's some tension here involved with Israel, but you said it would be a big mistake, you said, for the United States to ditch Israel. Oh. Now we're not saying that's going to happen. Don't misunderstand me. But there is contention now between Israel and the U.S. because Trump seems to be saying, no, I'll run everything from here. And Israel seems to be saying, wait a minute, we're part of this deal too. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, like a lot of
biblically speaking.
Yeah, biblically speaking, Genesis 12, you know, comes to mind right away. When God said to Abraham, I'll make of you a great nation.
Going way back now.
You're going way back.
Okay.
I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you.
You think that applies to modern-day Israel?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And there has been concern when this Gaza, so-called Gaza peace deal, air quotes there, was put into place. President Trump involved countries such as Qatar and others. Qatar in particular allowed Hamas leaders to live in luxury in their country. And so there is conflict. Qatar has been named as funding Islamic groups on American campuses. So you got to be very careful. The United States has to be, I believe the United States has been blessed because we have been a forceful companion beside protecting Israel. The concern that is growing is, and that's why we made mention of the statement from Prime Minister Netanyahu's office this morning, and I'll read it again. The quote is, we are not a protectorate of the United States. Israel is the one that will decide on its security, end quote. That seems to be in response to some of the talk that even as late as yesterday, that President Trump was saying, we will decide what to do with Hamas. All right? So I think the United States has to be very careful. As I say, I think we've been blessed because of our friendship, our support of the nation of Israel. But if we say we now have the right to call the shots with regards to Israel's security, I think that is perhaps stepping over a line. I think that is what Netanyahu was addressing this morning in that official statement from his office.
Jenna, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I fully agree that biblical covenants are continuing. And so when we talk about biblical covenants, I mean, these are formal agreements between God and humanity. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his covenants continue. And so when we apply something even going all the way back to Genesis, it talks about the right of Israel, the nation, to inhabit the land. Now, does this mean that we as the United States have to agree with and support everything that the current government of Israel portends? Well, no. That's a very different than what Genesis is talking about in terms of the right to the land, the Abrahamic covenant, and also the nation of Israel in terms of those who bless Israel. Because remember, there's also the Davidic covenant, which is that a man from the line of David would reign eternally. And that, of course, is the foreshadowing of the Messiah. Why do we bless Israel? Because without Israel, we would not have the Messiah, which through whom the person of Jesus and the redemptive work of Christ is how we all can obtain salvation through that finished work. And so that is why we support the nation of Israel and the Judeo-Christian worldview and obviously the biblical worldview. So I also agree that when we're looking at how we as a nation interact with Israel, it's not just that they have some kind of preferred status in terms of our foreign policy just because of, you know, those who bless Israel and all that. I mean, we have to put that into context, but it does mean that we as a nation can't try to draw the boundaries and contours of God's covenant. That's basically, I think, what Fred is suggesting, that would be very dangerous for the Trump administration to try to do.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So what I hear you guys saying is, lady and gentlemen, you guys, generic. I know Jenna does.
You guys is a Colorado term too, so
yeah,
I'm down.
I'm not saying you identify with anything other than. Well, I would stop right there. take us down a wrong
about
track.
Over a bridge.
Take us down rabbit holes. I don't rarely do.
The woods.
So anyway, my point is that it's not Israel right or wrong on politics and policy, but it is Israel right or wrong when it comes to having a steadfast support of the nation of Israel in general, yes, and not abandoning them because you disagree with a policy here or there. But by the way, Israel is basically alone in the world now, and I think that's biblical too. The Jews there, it's a Jewish state, and they are surrounded by enemies, and they are and the world condemns Israel regularly at the United Nations for things that go on worse in other countries that they don't condemn, they being the United Nations. So, yes, Wesley's raising his hand. You have a question for me? Because
got a question.
I'm pretty good at this stuff.
I got a question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So
fire
then
away.
What are we expecting the United States' role to be in the 20-point deal?
By the way, we give Israel a lot of money, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that is true. They may be the number one recipient of foreign aid in the world. So they do count on the United States for not only moral support, political support, but financial support, too. I'm not saying Israel couldn't support themselves, but we do give them a lot of foreign aid to show and to demonstrate our steadfast support. And that's usually been bipartisan, the Republicans and Democrats. What were you asking now?
So the question that I have is, what do we expect the role to be of America in this 20-point deal?
Well, the 20-point peace deal was initiated by President Trump.
Right.
So he does deserve credit for that, and it did get the hostages released.
Right. So we're going.
I haven't even read it. I don't know.
I'm looking.
I don't know what point 17 is. Yeah. I have no idea. But it's supposed to be a roadmap to peace in that region that the United States is supposed to take the leadership on. That's what I gather. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, then that begs.
Do I have that wrong, by the way?
No. I think the release of hostages and prisoners is part of phase one, and so I'm not sure how many phases are going into this peace deal. But the U.S. military is also supposed to be part of this in terms of stabilization efforts.
Bad idea.
Well, yeah, I agree with that as well. So, I mean, there are several. So negotiation was part of this, then release, overseeing governance and reconstruction, and then also the stabilization efforts. Those two pieces of it, overseeing governance and stabilization, that's where I think things can get tricky.
The reason I'm asking is, I'll just fast forward, is because if we support American Trump and America's 20-point plan for a peace deal, then what is wrong with us helping also making sure that it gets done? Or
well, I think we are. I think that's why J.D. Vance is over there right now.
He's asking about, well, then, about military involvement.
What
I'm saying is, what then is wrong with Trump saying, well, if you don't do what we said on the deal, then I'll do it for you?
Okay, this gets complicated and conflated very easily. Foreign intervention in military in other countries is absolutely against the America First.
Okay, did Trump say that? Military?
Yeah, well, he suggested it.
He did?
Let me give you an example. When I was
to Professor Ed. Yeah, he's fixing to wax eloquent.
You have a legitimate question, Wesley. I think this will help you understand what our role is meant to be
for this 20-point deal.
Fair
enough.
So back when I used to pastor, my wife and I would do marital counseling, and if a husband and a wife were having problems, we would try to help them see the biblical solution to that, and when they leave, it is up to them to do what we said they should do. If that breaks down, I'm not going to come over to the house and say to the husband, I told you you're supposed to take care of the outside work, so now I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So our role was to get these two sides together. We lay out the plan, and then they have to follow through or the plan ends.
Thank you for answering my question.
I could have done that, but you didn't ask me. Yeah. No, that was a very good analogy. Here's where, and Jenna, Fred, I ask you, and then Jenna can jump in there too. Reason I say it's easily conflated and it's complicated is this reason. President Trump is suggesting that we would send the Marines in to Gaza to take out Hamas. Is that an unfair?
No, it's not unfair.
Okay, that's what he suggested. Am I right?
He's implying it.
He's implying that. Okay, that is a if you're going to do that, as I say, that is injecting boots on the ground of American military personnel in a foreign country, Israel here. By the way, how you're going to fight a war against an enemy inside a sovereign country like Israel, an ally of ours, without, are we going to seek approval from the IDF and Benjamin Netanyahu about moves we make militarily inside Gaza? So Trump stepped in it. I'm just going to say it like it is. Trump has stepped in it. It will be the first time in his life he's done this. He stepped in it by suggesting that we use military in Gaza.
Hey, this is what he said a week ago. I just want people to understand we're not making this up. Okay, so a week ago, and then he said something again, oh, I think overnight. He said of Hamas, if they don't disarm, we will disarm them, and it will happen quickly and perhaps violently.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
You realize what he's saying there?
He says we.
He's saying the Marines.
It makes it sound like we will go in with Israel.
We, the United States, I will authorize them to go find Hamas and take them out.
Now, if he didn't mean that.
Does that help Israel?
Huh?
Does that help Israel?
That's why Benjamin Netanyahu said what he said.
Yes.
He said, wait a minute, hold on. I'm paraphrasing. He's saying, hold on now. We're not just a potted plant here in right. this deal. We have a say. This is our country, and we have a say here, too. So as much as we love and respect President Trump, he can't just say we're going to come in with our Marines and take out Hamas if they don't follow this 20-point plan. Let Jenna go ahead and comment, and then you can comment, Wesley, and then we'll move on. Here, go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, I also want to point out that, again, I don't think that support of Israel in a biblical, you know, Genesis 12 sense requires boots on the ground, requires military intervention, requires some of these strategic things that obviously our own government and our national sovereignty can decide. The whole point of that is to say that the nation and the boundaries that God ordained and covenanted to Israel, God owns the land, right? He created the land and he basically deeded the title into perpetuity to the nation of Israel, those meets and bounds. That's what we are obligated to protect if we understand the covenant in Scripture. How we do that, I think, is a debatable issue. And to suggest that we have boots on the ground, but then also President Trump's executive order assuring the security of Qatar, or Qatar, however you want to pronounce it, is also very problematic.
Yep.
Because I don't view them as our ally for any other purpose besides negotiating this peace deal. So this is, as you rightly point out, Tim, it's a very sticky situation.
Let me just be fair here for a moment. Not that we've been unfair to President Trump, but he did clarify, he has clarified some of his statements, because he recently here, it was yesterday or the day before, he said that that we would go in to straighten out Hamas if necessary. And that's when he had in all caps, it would be fast, furious, and brutal ends for the group. He was asked, does that mean U.S. troops on the ground? And he said, no, it's not going to be us. We don't have to. There are people very close, very nearby that will go, and they'll do the trick very easily, but under our auspices. Okay, so these are conflicting messages that President Trump has sent. And
Did he use the word auspices?
That was probably on Truth Social. But that could explain why Benjamin Netanyahu's saying, hold on here, we're not a protectorate. Uh-huh. Now, by the way, I looked
up
the amount.
What does protectorate mean? We're not a lapdog?
The definition, a state that is controlled and protected by another. And Netanyahu says, that's not us.
Now, we do give them almost $22 billion a year in military aid.
Sure.
So this is how this is all complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we do
Tell
give them.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, give them $22 billion with a B. So President Trump has on several occasions used the word we're going to do this. When he's been asked, he has said, oh, no, not our troops.
I'm sorry. That doesn't help. That doesn't. That only complicates things for me. It doesn't clarify. You said clarify.
Well, Trump thinks he clarifies, and he just adds more words quite often. So.
Does Trump, did he use the word auspices in a True Social post?
Yes. Wow. He wrote in a post on Truth Social.
So you take back what you said earlier when he said just simple words like good and bad.
Yeah.
Nope, we got auspices.
Trump usually goes with good, bad, quickly.
And you know what? I actually like that he, because so many politicians, and even like I'm guilty of this, speak in white paper and complicated verbiage, where Trump speaks in crayon. Everybody can understand it.
I agree.
I think it's
brilliant. He simplifies it. But now, did that help you?
But it should be clear still.
Okay. So that, did that, all right.
You're saying, so what does this actually mean?
Tell me what it means. Why are we being coy?
Well, he. I think he's trying to get the point across to Hamas. You are going to disarm. When he says we, he has also included other nations in the Middle East who have said to him, I'm pretty sure I got this right. He said, they've said to me privately, we want you to take care of Hamas.
Oh, yeah.
And now that's something else.
All right, who's going to take care of Hamas, United States Marines or IDF? Who's going to be the we that Trump said? That's what I want to know. That's very important.
I think it's the IDF.
Israeli
Defense Force.
Okay.
Which is why Netanyahu said what he said this morning, I think.
Then the world's going to say we broke the peace deal.
Think this is the other brilliance of how Trump expresses things, is that he always leaves it open for interpretation so he himself can reinterpret it later.
Oh, it's genius.
That is true.
It's as a political move.
If you're Hamas, you are wondering whether the U.S. Marines are going to be storming the beaches. We're going to stick an aircraft carrier off the coast.
But I thought Trump clarified that.
No, I know, but I'm saying, if you're Hamas and he says we will do it, you're thinking it's the U.S.
Okay, then move on. All right, who did Trump say is going to enforce the peace deal?
Well, he came back later.
Okay, what did he say? And then we'll move on here.
Okay, it's he said that if they don't agree to Hamas.
Yeah.
He said he claimed several U.S. allies in the Middle East.
Are you quoting now?
I am quoting.
Tell me when you start quoting.
Okay, I will. In the Middle East, have offered to send forces into Gaza at his request. This is what Trump is claiming, to, quote, straighten out Hamas, end quote, if necessary, promising a, quote, this is Trump saying, all caps, fast, furious, and brutal end quote, for the group. However, Trump clarified that U.S. troops would not lead such an operation, stating, quote, it's not going to be us. We won't have to. There are people very close, very nearby that will go, and they'll do the trick very easily, but under our auspices. So we'll be in control.
Of the IDF?
Of whoever the forces
are. What, you got an Italian mob over there?
Well,
what do we got?
Not the Italian mob.
I don't understand any of that.
Right.
That makes no sense to me. Does it make sense to you, friend?
Well, that last hour, what does that mean?
Nobody knows. That's part. I think part of
what, we won't have to do it, but we'll control it.
You know, this also can be frustrating for other people too. Because on one hand, we want the United States to support Israel, be involved, help, and then on the other hand, with other presidents in the past who have been unhelpful, unwilling, unsupportive of Israel. Then you got someone like Trump who is, and it's almost at times it's frustrating for some. It's like you can't win for losing, because he's very involved in it. The 20 point peace deal. I mean, he's constantly trying to end a war over there. But then again, you know, he makes a couple comments about like this, and we're upset. You know, it's like I don't know. I don't know on this issue. I don't know if you can win for losing if you're Trump, because if you don't do anything.
I'm supportive of his efforts I'm just saying, when you get into a situation like we're in, you got to be clear. And saying we're going to straighten out Hamas, by using somebody else's military, but we're in control of it. That makes no sense to me. And I think that's why Benjamin Netanyahu said, wait a minute, no, we're in control of our own forces here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. Hey, Jenna, what's coming up tomorrow on your show?
So we're continuing to talk about all of the government shutdown, all of those things. I can't
get enough of that talk. Can you?
Right.
It was a very good show this morning. I was listening. Who was the Indiana governor, the congressman that you were talking to?
Yeah, Representative Marlon Stutzman. He's one of our regulars. He's fantastic.
It was very good. It helped clarify some things for me.
Like what?
Well, about the shutdown and the possibility of using the nuclear option to remove the 60-vote margin for cloture. And so Jenna did a great job with Congressman Stutzman on that.
Got you.
Well, thank you.
That's what we were supposed to talk to her about.
I never know what kind of, theological jeopardy I'll get on today's issues. It's always
jeopardy.
Fun.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yes. Yeah. But it's also a lot of fun to cover those headlines. And Representative Stutzman did talk about, he thinks it's time to invoke the nuclear option because the Democrats are basically getting a timeout, as he put it, like you would in sports. If the other team is winning, then the losing team calls for a timeout just to run out the clock and, some other things. And I thought that was a very apt analogy. And so I think it's time for Republicans to just say enough of this nonsense.
I think the Democrats are faking an injury on the field.
Like football.
Like in football.
Is that what AOC is screaming about?
Yeah,
all right.
I think so. Well, AOC screaming, that's daily. So I don't know.
Yes.
She could have had some spaghetti that was cold, so she's screaming. All right. Thank you, Jenna. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Fred. Thank you.
All right.
You got so many more stories.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, but Tim got long-winded and cut us short on some other stories we could have covered.
It is your show, sir.
Yeah, well.
You talk about what's on your heart.
Try to be
a humble
man and share the wealth here. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.